I give thanks to Jesus Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry, one who was formerly a blasphemer, a prosecutor, and an arrogant man. But I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance, in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.
It's great to see so many here for our HSC service. Welcome to those who are here because it's the HSC, and also to those who might be here who just happen to come anyway, and it happens to be the HSC service. We're really glad that you're here, as well as all the regulars. Welcome to you as well. For those who might not know, there's a little outline of the talk that I'm going to give on the white sheet that hopefully you got as you came in. And you can see that the first heading there is mercy, mercy. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word mercy. Maybe, especially if you're a HSC student and you've been doing your assessments and stuff, maybe there's for you that time when you had to do an assignment, maybe at school or uni or something, and there was a due date, but you didn't get it in on time. You were late. And you deserve to lose some marks. That's the strict rule, that you have to lose marks or maybe not even have it accepted at all. But you go to the teacher and you plead with them for mercy. That's mercy, isn't it, if they let you off and give you an extension. Or maybe you think of the mercy rule in sport. There was a game of rugby union in New Zealand not that long ago. And when the score got to 137-0, the officials called the game off. The mercy rule. There was 10 minutes to go and they said, this team has had enough. We're not going to inflict any more humiliation on them. If you look down there at the women's game, it was a pretty serious score as well, 102-0. I'm glad I wasn't playing against those teams. Or I can think of a time when I was shown mercy. I was driving along and I was pulled over at a random breath testing place by a police officer. And it wasn't that I was drink driving or anything like that, but, you know, they always ask you, they look in and they say, can I see your licence, please? So I pulled out my wallet and I looked in all the little containers and I couldn't find it. And my heart was pounding because I've never been in trouble with the law before, you know. And I looked again and I looked in the glove box and it dawned on me that my license was in the other car in the glove box because I'd been teaching my kids to drive and you need the license to, you've got to write down the number of 500 times in the book. And so the license was there. And so I told this to the police officer and guess what? They let me off with a caution. I deserved a fine for driving without a license on me, but they showed mercy. That is mercy. Mercy is when you get let off. It's when you don't get what you deserve. And in the passage that Tamsin just read for us from the Bible, twice the Apostle Paul says, but I received mercy. But I received mercy. Once in verse 13 and once in verse 16. And when he says, I received mercy, it almost always starts with a but. It's because, you see, it's something that you don't deserve. You deserve something else, but you receive mercy. And so as we work through this little passage tonight, we're going to be focusing in on this theme of God's mercy. And as you can see on the outline, there are three headings, God's message of mercy, the power of mercy, and the Apostle Paul as the great example of mercy for us. So firstly, the message of mercy. The message of Christianity is the message of mercy. There's a beautiful summary of it right there in your passages on verse 15, and to help us out, I've even put it on the screen. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, here is a saying, a word that comes to us, and it's not like one of the quotes that you learn for your HSC exam that you've got to just kind of put down there to get some marks that you don't remember after the HSC, let me tell you. Well, you might remember one of them if it was really good, but 99 of them you don't remember. But this saying is not like that. It's not a trivial thing. This saying is something trustworthy, something you can base your life upon. And this saying is something that is worthy of, deserving of full acceptance by everyone completely. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why Jesus was born. He was always with God the Father in heaven for all eternity. But 2,000 years ago, he was born into our world and he came on a rescue mission. He came, it says here in this trustworthy saying, to save sinners. Now, who are sinners? Sinners is a word that we don't use that much these days, except maybe here in church. It's kind of a word that's got fairly negative connotations because people don't like to be made to feel bad. And to be called a sinner means that somehow or other you're not acceptable to God. And because that's what a sinner is. In the Bible, sinners are people who don't treat God the way that he should be treated. And that can come about in different ways. Sometimes sin is very obvious. It's a rejection of God and a rebellion against him. And I don't care about God, I'm just going to do what I want. Other times it's more subtle. Maybe there's a belief in God, but it's really just lip service because when it actually comes down to it, God is not God in your life. You run your life, not him. Or it can even be someone who sincerely wants to please God and tries really hard to do the right thing and live his way, but guess what? We all find that we can't do it. We all fall short in one way or another, and we don't do the things that we ought to do, and we do the things that we ought not to do. We are all sinners. And however it happens for you and for me, this is something that is really serious. This puts us in deep trouble with God because God is pure and holy, and he can't tolerate sin and sinners. And before God, our sin condemns us. And it makes God angry towards us because he made us and he made us good. And we, when we rebel against him, we muck up his good plans for his world and for our lives. And he's angry. And as Israel Folau reminded us, we rightly face death and hell because we're sinners. But that's not the whole story, is it? And that's the problem with that, the way that Israel Folau is reported. We only hear the negative side. But can you see here that the message of Christianity, the heart of Christianity, is not a message of condemnation and anger and death, but a message of mercy? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, what Israel Folau said is right. If you reject God, then you can expect that God will reject you. But if you turn to God, the wonderful news of the gospel of Christianity is because Christ Jesus came into the world to rescue us, we can receive mercy. Instead of condemnation, we receive forgiveness. Instead of anger, we receive grace. Instead of death, we receive life. How is this possible? Well, it's because when Jesus came into our world, he lived a perfect life. He revealed God to us so that none of us can be in any doubt at all that God is real and what he is like. And he called on us to turn back to him. And then he did something wonderful. He died on the cross. And you can say, how can that be wonderful? And the reason is because he was dying the death that I deserve for my sin. He was dying and suffering death and hell in my place, so that now he's been raised from the dead to rule. When I bow my knee to him and turn to him, he shares with me what he accomplished on the cross. My sins are dealt with. The penalty is paid. Mercy is available. This is the very heart of the message of Christianity. It is a message of mercy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like me and like you. Now, I think it's incredibly sad that often this message is not the message that people hear from us. It's not the perception in our community of what Christianity is about. Sometimes this message gets distorted or pushed aside for another message, perhaps the message of condemnation. So what's reported about Israel Folau is sinners are going to hell, end of story. And so the message that comes across is that Christianity is a religion that judges people and condemns people. But as we've heard, that's the background. The message of Christianity is that we can be saved from that. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, as we saw last week, we're working our way through this letter to 1 Timothy. We saw that Timothy has a job to do. He's been sent to the church where he's at to straighten out the teaching that's happening there. And the problem with the teachers that were in this church is that instead of teaching the message of mercy, they were teaching a message of law, of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that. And waving a big stick. If you don't come up to scratch and pull up your socks and lift your game, then you're going to be wiped out. And so often that's how people perceive the message of Christianity, isn't it? That it's about being good. It's about morality. It's like there's a big HSC exam at the end of time and we're all going to give an account for how good we've been. And if we're good enough, then we'll get a pass. Otherwise, if we fail, then there's no hope for us. But can you see that is not the trustworthy saying that's deserving of full acceptance? The message of Christianity is the message of God's mercy. There's only one question that we have to answer at the end. Have I trusted in Jesus and received the mercy that he offers? Or have I resisted him and said, I don't need that, thank you, God? Christianity has a message of mercy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can you see that? It's not about being good. It's about being forgiven. But you might say, well, that seems too easy, Neil. Surely God is concerned with how we live, isn't he? Maybe those teachers in Timothy's time were passionate for God and they wanted people to live his way. And so they gave the instructions, they gave the laws. This is what it means. This is how you should live. If you want to change people's lives to be pleasing to God, surely that's what you've got to do, isn't it? Well, that's where we come to our second point, the power of mercy. Because what we see here in this passage is that the Apostle Paul says there is this message of mercy is not just good news, it's incredibly powerful to transform lives. You don't need to resort to rules and regulations and a big stick. Because if you understand properly, and if you receive the mercy that God offers in Jesus, your life will be transformed. Here's what the apostle says. He pick it up in verse 12. He says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he has considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. Now, it's not as though he's been rewarded here, the apostle Paul, because he was particularly faithful. The emphasis is on the me. He can't believe that he can be chosen by God to be an apostle, to be Jesus' representative in the world. Why not? Because of what he used to be. See verse 13. One who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. Now, many of us here will know the story of the Apostle Paul, but some may not. But he was a Jewish leader who went around he thought that Jesus and Christianity was something against God, something evil. And so he actively opposed it, aggressively. He was a blasphemer. And he went out and arrested Christians and tried to put them on trial and have them thrown in jail. He was a persecutor of the church. And he thought he was doing the right thing. He was zealous. He thought that he was serving God. And he was so fixated on this that he couldn't see that Jesus was actually the Messiah that God had promised to the Jews who would come, that he was the Lord, the Saviour. And he was an arrogant man who didn't serve God's purposes, but just went about his own zealous ways. So how could this man be turned around? Well, he says, "But I received mercy. I received mercy." He was on his way up to Damascus, on the road to Damascus, and the risen Jesus appeared to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And straight away, Saul realized his terrible mistake. Jesus really was the Messiah. Jesus really was the Christ and the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins. The message that the Christians had been preaching was the true message, and he was the one who had it wrong. It was like as he was blinded at the time, and then a Christian man called Ananias came and prayed for him, and it was like the scales fell from his eyes. He saw Jesus clearly. And from that moment on, his life was transformed. He was forgiven. He received mercy. God stepped into his life, revealed Jesus to him so that he would trust Jesus and be forgiven for the way that he had treated God. And he needed mercy. He says, "I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance in unbelief." He's the man who was an unbeliever who became a believer. Here's the man who was a blasphemer who became a preacher. The man who was a hater who became a lover. The man who persecuted the church, who was transformed to build the church. The man who was an arrogant man, serving his own agenda, who became the humble servant of his Lord. You see, this is a story of total transformation. And there's one more thing that we need to see here as well. You see, how does this work? How is it that God's mercy can transform a person like this? Well, I think there are two levels. One is at the human level, that we respond to mercy, don't we? I was really thankful and went home rejoicing when that policeman let me off for not having my license. Oh, whew. But that's a trivial thing compared to being let off by God, isn't it? But when you receive mercy, when you know, and when it, like the Apostle Paul, when he realized he was wrong, to receive mercy is just the best thing ever. Have you seen the musical Les Miserables? Sorry if you're a French teacher or something, and my French is no good. Early on in the musical, Jean Valjean, who's the main character, he's been kind of in a prison camp for, I think it's 19 years, for stealing a loaf of bread. And they treated him really badly, and he comes out and he's really hardened against society. And he goes and he finds a bishop, takes him into his house to give him some food and a place to sleep. And he steals the silver candlesticks from the bishop's house. But he goes out and he's caught by the local police, and they bring him back to the bishop's house, and they say to him, to the bishop, "Did he steal these candlesticks?" And the bishop said, "No, I gave them to him, and I meant to give him these other ones as well, but he forgot to take them." He had mercy. This is a painting depicting the moment when the bishop has mercy on him. And if you know the story, he from that moment resolves to spend the rest of his life showing mercy to others. It's a powerful thing to receive mercy. It softens your heart. It changes you. But mercy doesn't just change our hearts. When we receive God's mercy, there's also a divine thing that happens. It actually changes the way that God relates to us. And we see that here in our last, in verse 14. Where he says, "And the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Mercy and grace are two very similar things, aren't they? They've both got the same feel about them, of being generous. But there is a slight difference. I think mercy is not giving what is being deserved, so getting off the hook for what you deserve. Grace is giving what is not deserved. Now, I don't know if you can see much difference between those two, but there is a subtle difference. And Paul says, when he received mercy, when he was forgiven, that wasn't the end of it. God also gave to him. He didn't just take away his guilt. He poured out abundantly his grace into his life. And the word there is the word overflowed. And that's, in the original language, a very powerful word. It's the idea of abundance with a word in front of it, the word hyper. Hyperabundant. Superabundant grace. God was generous to him way beyond what was deserved. It was like a waterfall where the water is pouring out and overflowing and you just can't stop it. Paul says, God has been that generous to me. How amazing is God to this persecutor, this blasphemer, this arrogant man who desperately needed mercy, that not only did he step in and show him Jesus so that he could turn to him and be forgiven, but he poured out abundantly in his life faith, enabling him to believe in God and trust him, and love. You see, the Apostle Paul is saying, my life was totally transformed. How? By receiving mercy. This is the power of mercy. But why does he tell Timothy this? Why do we have this story here? Well, on one hand, we can see ourselves here and we can see the possibilities for us. But he's actually, remember, writing to Timothy, trying to urge him to sort out the problems in the church and to sort out these people who were teaching law, people who were thinking, if you want to live God's way, you have to follow the rules. And I think Paul is saying, no, the power for a changed life is not in a list of rules. The power for a changed life is in the mercy that is in Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. That message will change lives. That is the most powerful message in the world. This is why people will come even to church here in Jenali and hear about Jesus and change their whole orientation in life. Because they realise who Jesus is and what he has done. And they reach out to him and they receive mercy. And it totally changes them. This is the power of mercy. So we've seen the message of mercy and the power of mercy. And now finally, the example of mercy. There's a third theme here. And this is in the last few verses. Paul says, but I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, he's the number one sinner, he says, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. See, basically what Paul's saying here is, if I can be saved, if I can receive mercy, then anyone can. Because I was the worst of sinners. And that is great news for us, isn't it? And great news for people around us as well. If Paul, blasphemer, persecutor, arrogant man, who's going out arresting Christians, doing all he can to wipe Christianity off the face of the earth, if even he can receive mercy, then so can I and so can you. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think is the... I just want to think of a person in your mind who is the least likely to become a Christian and be accepted by God. Maybe you can think of someone out there, some kind of person who's a pedophile or a mass murderer or something like that. Actually, maybe they would be because they know that they're a sinner and they need mercy. Or maybe it's someone who actively opposes Christianity, who stands up and makes fun of it and denounces it, an opponent of Jesus. Or maybe it's a leader of a false religion that has lots of adherents who follow them in a different direction and not following Jesus. Maybe a Hindu guru. Maybe a Muslim cleric. Or maybe it's someone closer to home, maybe someone you love. Maybe someone that you don't love, maybe someone that you despise. someone incredibly hard-hearted, someone who seems like they're a long way from God and wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. Or maybe it's even closer to home. Maybe it's even you. Maybe you're the last person you would think would become a Christian. Maybe you've been resisting Jesus for a long time. And you think to yourself, I'm just not worthy of him. The things that I've said, the things I've done, just the way I've held out on him. You might think, how could I ever find mercy? Well, here is the wonderful news that we're hearing of tonight. If the Apostle Paul can receive mercy, the worst of sinners, then so can you. And so can I. And so can the person that you thought of, who seems like they're a long way from God. And please notice one other thing here in this verse. Notice this word, patience. This is a demonstration of God's extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. God was patient with Paul. He spent a long time opposing God and going down the wrong track. And maybe you're someone who's spent a long time opposing God and going down the wrong track. But God's patience is such that it's not too late. You can come to Jesus, as it says there, believe in him for eternal life. You can receive mercy. No wonder Paul finishes this little section in the next verse, verse 17, with worship. This is why we Christians sing the songs that we do. Praise and worship of God. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. It's because when you know that you have received mercy and that it's all of God, because he sent Christ Jesus into the world to die in your place, when you really understand that, then what else can you do but give honour and glory to the God who has been so kind to you? Now to the King, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. So we've seen that Christianity, at its heart, has the message of mercy. Not good works, not condemnation, but mercy from God in Jesus. And we've seen that this message of mercy is the most powerful message in the world to transform lives. And we've seen that as the Apostle Paul makes this point, he also functions as an example for us, so that we know that no one is beyond God's mercy. So what should we do? What should we do? Well, the first and most obvious thing to do is to receive this mercy for yourself. This is too good to pass up. To receive God's mercy, the way you do it is you believe in Jesus. You accept that Jesus is the one that God has appointed to be the King in your life. And you turn to him and you say to him, I want you to be king in my life. Please forgive me. And when you do, his mercy will come to you and his grace will be poured out in your life and it will be transformed now and for all eternity. If anyone here tonight isn't yet trusting in Jesus, please hear this message of mercy and respond to it, so that you too can share in the wonderful life that God offers to you. But this is also something not only to be received, but to be extended. Like Jean Valjean spent the rest of his life extending mercy to others in the story. But so too the Apostle Paul. After he received mercy, he spent the rest of his life making this message of mercy, this powerful message to transform lives, known to the world. This is why Ben is doing our JMAP apprenticeship. He's giving up his career that he's started off in, his dream job in the travel business where he gets to travel overseas and all of that. Why is he doing it? Why is he doing it? He's doing it to extend the message of mercy to more and more people. Because when you've received mercy, it's incredibly selfish to keep it to yourself. When you've received mercy, you want others to share it as well. And finally, the last thing that we should do is to make sure that this message of mercy is the drumbeat of our church, of the Christian message that comes from our church. In our children's ministry, in our youth ministry, in our adult ministry, in all the things that we do as a church, we may be tempted to think that a religion of law is the thing that's going to change people's lives. But we've been reminded tonight that no, the power to transform lives is the message of mercy, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's so easy for us to be to succumb to the temptation to find a different message, a message that's perhaps new, that will gather a crowd because it's the kind of issues that people are talking about today. They're not talking about sinners and salvation and Jesus dying on the cross. And those other messages have their place, those topics to be addressed. But they won't change lives. They'll just titillate the intellect and get a bit of conversation happening, but they deep down won't change the heart. Only God's mercy can do that. And God's mercy is only available in Jesus Christ. And so we need to keep speaking about the one who came, Christ Jesus, into the world to save sinners. That is a message that will change lives and change the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word to us. And thank you for the mercy that you have shown by sending your Son into the world. Thank you for the mercy that you showed to the Apostle Paul, that you stepped into his life and revealed to him Jesus so that he would trust in Jesus and receive mercy. And thank you for the grace that you poured out on him, transforming him from a blasphemer to a preacher, from a persecutor to a church builder, and from an arrogant man to a humble servant filled with faith and love. Lord, we thank you that you've done this work in so many of us here in this church. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to do this work, that anyone here tonight who hasn't yet received mercy from you might do so. Lord, we thank and praise you that you are such a generous God. Lord, you are the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, and all honour and glory is due to you, now and forever. Amen.